when we figured out that it was the morning service and the evening service, they were going to go to Tennessee right after the morning service. I said, you're going to have a hard time getting back for the evening service from Tennessee. And so in the sovereignty and the providence of God, their accommodations in Weatherford fell through, so they had to come stay with me last night. So we got them for 2 hours. Otherwise, we'd just had them for one. So we thank God for that. And we had good fellowship last night. So let's pray. Devote this time to Him. Father, we thank You so much for the privilege to be Your children and to participate with You in the Great Commission. And Lord, we thank You for the McAtees today. We lift them up to You. Pray that You would speak through them to us, give us ears to hear and hearts to respond in faith and obedience to what You're going to say to us. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that You will guide them along the way in the rest of their stateside assignment. Help Cliff in his studies. Give him mental strength to finish that up. And Lord, just be with us today as we minister to one another and worship You in the process. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You got your wire on?
I do. Oh, it's even working. Well, thank you very much. I thank you also for coming down and moving closer. If you hadn't have come down, I was going to walk among you and keep you on your toes so you don't fall asleep. But it really has been fun and to come to see you all and to be last night with Don and Doris. And what a precious privilege. And it's been so encouraging for y'all to come up. John came up and said, I got your picture on my fridge. And that must have been from a long time ago, you know, because I'm looking quite old. But just to have people come up and to affirm us and Anna and Jimmy, all of y'all that have just been sweet to us. And so thank you very much. It really does the heart good to come home. There you go. That was a long time ago. So Ruth Ann told me that her husband every morning has his Bible. So bless you. Thank you for praying for us. We need it so desperately. And as you'll hear this morning, you'll see why we need prayer. Because the Lord does work in mysterious ways. He, you know, uses us. But He's doing wonderful things there. Last night, Don and I were talking, and he said it would be neat. And I look forward to this next 30 minutes or so, where I'm going to take you all through how do we do worship, how do we do church over there in Indonesia. We're working in Indonesia. It's in Southeast Asia. We live on the island of Java, which is an island about the size of the state of Tennessee. And there's 124 million people. Come on here. 124 million people poured into that little island about the size of the state of Tennessee. But we have the privilege of living up kind of in the mountains, and you guys can come and look at pictures in a little bit, where it's a little less populated. It's up in the cool mountains, and we're working among farmers. So any of you guys farmers in here or raise goats, cattle, cows, that's what we're doing. To some extent there on the island of Java. But through this, and we'll share in the service this morning, God has just been working and have been bringing people to faith. Now, you know, what would you do if your coworker came to Christ, you know, as you witnessed with them? Well, what would you do with the person? I guess you bring them to church. And to church, it's a pretty handy place to bring someone who's just come to faith because they can be discipled. But in our context, there's not really any church. So the Lord has been teaching us, how do we disciple these people that have come to faith? And so I'm going to do that with you all. And so you all are going to be my little experimentation this morning. And after I finish sharing the story, Chris is going to come and share her testimony and how that story was applied in her life as we went overseas 6 years ago. So, you know, I would start with maybe Selamat pagi. Bapak-bapak, ibu-ibu, salam dari saudara-saudari dari Malang dalam kasih Kristus. What that means is good morning, greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ from Malang, where Brother Don and Dr. Tom went with us, you know, last year. But once we come and we open up our little service, with prayer, and now they're starting to sing some and sing praise songs. We begin teaching them God's stories. And we're of the belief that God's stories have everything in them that we need for life today. Everything. God, in his miraculous and infinite wisdom, put in his story what you need in your life today. And on that truth, we have decided to build our churches based upon God's word. So when we begin the little service, this is how we begin it. We review last week's story kind of briefly, and so I'll do that real quick. Last week, we talked about how Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised on the third day. He appeared to disciples over a period of about 40 days. The Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. And then the disciples begin to go out and to preach God's word. Well, not too long later, persecution broke out. Saul was present whenever they stoned Stephen. And this is the beginning of our story today. I'm going to tell the story twice. And then after I tell the story twice, I'm going to begin. Okay, what is your name, ma'am? Mildred. Mildred, start the story for us. She'll say a couple of words, and I'll go to this gentleman back. Continue it, and then I'll come here, and then I'll come here, and then I'll go. And we're going to complete the story. And by the time we're done, we will have told the story two or three times. So if you want to open up and read with me, we're going to tell the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And so it's in Acts chapter 8, and I'll start with the very first few verses, and then I'll skip and go to verse 26. I'm going to skip Simon the sorcerer. Because today we're going to talk about the call and about being obedient to God's call upon your life, okay? So this first time, as I tell the story the first time, read along with me or just listen if you want to. The second time, I want all Bibles closed and I want you just to listen to me, okay? So chapter 8, verse 1. And on that day, a great persecution broke out in Jerusalem. Because Saul had just been a part of the stoning of Stephen. And all the apostles were scattered, and wherever they went, they preached the good news of Jesus Christ. And only the apostles stayed within the city of Jerusalem. And there are those that mourned deeply for Stephen, and they buried him there in Jerusalem. But one of the disciples, his name was Philip, he went out and he went to a town in Samaria. And there in Samaria, he preached the good news of Jesus Christ. And the Lord enabled him to do mighty miracles. And it says in God's word that evil spirits came out of people with shrieks. And many were healed. The paralytics were brought to them. The crippled were brought to him. In the name of Jesus Christ, he healed them. And so the Samaritans paid great attention to what Philip had to say because of these great works. And it says that the town was filled with joy. And then we skip down to 26 if you want to follow. Well, not too much long later, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, Philip, go down to the south road, the road that leads into the desert, the road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. Go down there. And so Philip immediately got up and he went. And when he went down there, he saw there that there was a chariot and someone in the chariot, and it was a man from Ethiopia. He was a eunuch. He was a high official in the palace of Queen Candace. He worked in the treasury. And so he saw, and that man had just come from Jerusalem because he wished to worship the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said to him, now go get near the chariot. And so he went and got near the chariot, and as he got close to it, he saw that the man was reading, or heard that the man was reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. And he was reading from the book of Isaiah, and so when he got up to him, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I understand if no one is here to explain it to me? And so he said, well, I'm reading here in the book of Isaiah, and this is the scripture that he was reading. Says, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb who is brought before his shearers, he remained silent. He did not even open his mouth. It says his injustice. No, he suffered injustice. In his humiliation, he suffered justice because justice was not given to him. Who can speak of his descendants because he was taken from the earth? That was the passage that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. And so Philip asked him, the eunuch asked Philip, who was this prophet speaking of? Was he speaking of himself or was he speaking of somebody else? And with that very passage, it says that Philip began to tell the story of Jesus Christ. Well, not too long later, they came across some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, look, here's some water. What would keep me from being baptized? And the Ethiopian eunuch stopped the chariot, and they got down in the water, and Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. And as they came up out of the water, it says that Philip was taken away by the Spirit. He appeared in Azotus, a town a good ways away. And the Ethiopian eunuch went on with great joy. Now, that's the story. All right, so I'm going to tell it again. I just realized I forgot some details. So now close your Bibles, because after I tell the story, you know, this time I'm going to say, okay, Doris, start the story, or young man, start the story, Brother Don, and we'll just go around. So listen good. Now, and this is not a time to say, oh, I can't remember. This is a time where we as the body of Christ complete each other. We complete each other by saying, well, I can't remember the next detail, but you do. Oh, that's right, that's right. And she remembers the next one. And we complete the story with each other's help. We become the living word, the body of Christ. And this is how it was in the first century. The mass majority of people did not read. Only the priests and some of the educated read. The men, many of the men were literate. But we were a collective whole, and we remember and we remember God's word together. So here's the story. Jesus Christ had been crucified. He'd been raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit had come. The disciples began to preach. I'm sorry, this is the beginning of the story. And on that day, a great persecution broke out in Jerusalem because Saul went from house to house persecuting and dragging people out of the homes. And many of the disciples were scattered all throughout the land. But there were some apostles that stayed within Jerusalem. Just the apostles stayed within Jerusalem to bury Stephen. And they mourned for him deeply. One of the disciples that was scattered was Philip, and he went to a town in Samaria. And there in Samaria, he preached the word of God, preached the story of Jesus Christ. And God enabled him to do amazing miracles. Many demons were driven out of people. Paralytics were healed. And it says that with shrieks, the demons came out of people. And the Samaritans paid great attention to what Philip had to say because of these mighty works. And there was great joy in the city. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, Philip, go down to the south road, the road that leads from Jerusalem through the desert to Gaza. Philip immediately got up and went. And as he went, he saw a man in a chariot. This was an Ethiopian eunuch. He was a high official in Candace's court. He was a treasurer in Candace's court. And the angel of the Lord said, go and draw near to the chariot. And so he went. He drew near to the chariot. And as he drew near, he heard the Ethiopian eunuch reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And as he approached him, he said to the Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand unless someone comes and explains it to me? And so the Ethiopian eunuch invited him up into the chariot. And Philip sat up in the chariot with him. And this was the passage that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. He was like a sheep that was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before his shearers is silent, he did not even open his mouth. And in his injustice, in his humiliation, he did not receive justice. And who can speak of his descendants because he was taken from the earth? And so the Ethiopian eunuch said, now, he said to Philip, is this speaking of him, himself, or somebody else? And from that very passage, Philip then explained the story of Jesus Christ. And as they were driving along, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, look, there's some water. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip he took the Ethiopian down. They went into the water, and as they came up out of the water, the Spirit took Philip away to Azotus, and the Ethiopian eunuch continued on with great joy. All right. Now that's the story. You've heard it twice, so we'll start with you. And what is your name?
Lane.
Lane, start the story, two or three sentences, and then I'll point to someone here, Brother John, then I'll go to Mildred. And then and try not to, don't open your Bible. Let each of us complete what you may not remember. So go ahead and start.
At that time, there's a great
persecution,
a word I couldn't think of. Mm-hmm. And the Christians were spread throughout the land.
All right, John, continue the story.
By the great persecutions, there was a man named Philip, mm-hmm. who went into a city in Samaria, mm-hmm. and began to preach the gospel.
All right, and we'll go back here. Has anyone forgotten anything or any details? All right, okay.
Paul was going from house to house, dragging That's the right. Christians out and persecuting them.
That's right. All right. Go ahead, brother. then you can pick up from where John just left off, that there was a man named Philip went to Samaria.
Oh, and he was preaching the gospel and doing casting out demons, and many of the demons came out of the people with shrieks, and the Samaritan people were paying a lot of attention to what he was preaching.
Amen.
As a result of his works.
No works. All right. So the Samaritans are paying attention. You know what Philip did after that, or what was the response of the Samaritans? Do you remember? Were they happy? Were they sad about that?
I know that they were paying very close attention to him. They had great joy. Yeah.
There was great joy. All right. Let me help. All right. There was great joy in the city, and then Anna, do it. There was great joy, and then was there anything else that was left out in that first little part?
That he healed the paralytics.
Okay, that's right. So someone said he had healed paralytics.
Oh, I
What about the burial of Stephen?
Oh, yes. They buried Stephen in Jerusalem, and they mourned him.
That's right. And who was it that mourned him and buried him?
The apostles and the disciples. And the apostles were left in Jerusalem.
I missed that. Only the apostles were left. Everyone else. Okay. All right. Anything else in that first little section that we were forgotten? I don't think we have. All right. So after they buried Stephen, after Philip went to Samaria, there was great joy in the city. And then what happened?
The angel came to Philip and told him to go to the south road.
That's right.
To the desert.
That's right. And so, and you went down there, and what happened?
There was a chariot carrying a eunuch the house of Candace.
That's right. The queen of Candace. So Philip found a chariot, and in that chariot was an Ethiopian eunuch, and the eunuch was the high official in the court of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And where had that Ethiopian eunuch come from?
He'd been in Jerusalem worshiping, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah.
That's right. And then what did the angel of the Lord say to Philip?
Join the chariot and explain to him what he was reading.
All right.
Help him understand.
All right. So he drew near to the chariot, and then what did Philip ask the Ethiopian eunuch?
Do you understand what you're reading?
All right. And who's the brave? No one's looking at me over here. Here you go. What did the Ethiopian eunuch say?
He's going to tease that.
What did the Ethiopian eunuch say when Philip said, do you understand what you're reading?
He said that he didn't.
Okay, so and what did how was his response? He says, no, how can I unless someone does
someone,
what?
Someone explains it to me. Teaches it to him, and he wasn't afraid to go up to the chariot.
Amen. All right, and so once he says, how can I, unless someone explains it to me, then what did the Ethiopian eunuch do to Philip? He invited him to come up into the what?
Chariot,
to sit down with him. All right, do you remember the verse? This is the hard part. Do you remember the verse? Does anyone remember the verse? What passage were they reading? Isaiah, but do you remember what part of it, Isaiah? So he was like a sheep, he was like a lamb. All right, tell it. Or tell part of it, and then someone else complete it.
Thanks. Slaughter as a sheep, as a lamb before his shearers was dumb, didn't even speak.
That's right. And in his humiliation.
And in his humiliation, his justice was denied him.
That's right. And then who can speak of his descendants because?
He was taken.
He was taken from the earth. Alrighty. So he was like a sheep. What was it? He was like a sheep led to the slaughter, and like a lamb is silent before his shearers, he did not even open his mouth. In his humiliation, he did not receive justice. Who can speak of his descendants because he was taken from the earth? Okay. And so it says, and from that very passage, I'll get to you soon. And from that very passage, and then we'll go down the kids here. From that very passage, Philip did what?
He explained the gospel to him.
Okay.
And then as they went along, they came to some water, and the eunuch asked why he could not be baptized.
All right. And give the phone to this sweet little lady here, young girl. What happened? So what? Here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And what happened?
So they went to the water, and as they came out of the water, Philip, he just disappeared.
That's right. Who, what took him? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Huh?
What took him?
God? Holy Spirit? He just went to a different
town. The Spirit.
Town.
And what town did he go to? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Look at her trying to squirm over there. He went to Azotus, who knows. All right, let's go back here. All right, so hang on, then I'll get to the young ones. All right, so he went to Azotus, and then the Ethiopian eunuch did what? He went on with great joy, it says.
Yeah, he went on with great joy and was rejoicing.
Rejoicing. Yeah, I think that's one of my Bibles, rejoicing. All right, so, all right, we've heard the scripture once. We're going to do it again. All right. Start it up where Lane started. It says that on that day a great persecution broke out in Jerusalem.
On that day a great persecution broke out in Jerusalem.
She ain't no dummy, is she? Yeah, good job.
The persecution of Christians was occurring, and Paul was going about persecuting Christians, and they were scattered.
All right, good. Now, was it Paul or Saul?
Saul.
It was Saul, okay. Go ahead. I'll bring him over here. So there, on that day, great persecution, and Saul was going from where to where?
House to house.
And doing what?
Persecuting the Christians.
All right, he says he was dragging people out of their homes, both men and women. Now, another scripture says men and women, but to persecute them. All right, and what happened to all the Christians in Jerusalem?
They all... departed except for the apostles.
All right, and what were the apostles doing?
Mine's blank.
All right, Brother Tom, Dr. Tom, what were the apostles doing?
The apostles had stayed with their groups, right, and were ministering to them.
All right, were the apostles ministering to the groups, or was it just the apostles in Jerusalem? It was just the apostles, so what were they doing? What did they do with Stephen?
Well, they buried and mourned him.
Okay. And so, but everybody else, poosh, well, you know, scattered, all right? Okay, very good. Come over here. All right, and so one of the disciples named?
Philip.
All right, did what?
He went to Jerusalem and was doing mighty works.
So not
Samaria,
Jerusalem,
excuse me,
but
he
Samaria.
Was Samaria. Yes, all right. He was going to Samaria doing mighty works.
And there he was doing what?
Casting out demons, okay, and doing mighty works. And okay, the people were amazed and astounded and pretty excited about it.
All right, very good. So, and doing mighty works. Now get to the young folks over here. All right, Michael, do your thing, man. So the Philip was doing mighty works. He was casting demons out. Paralytics were healed. And what was the response in the city?
Joy.
All right, speak up.
Joy.
All right, so there was great joy in the city. All right, pass it on to this young man. And then what happened after this? You may not want to do it.
No.
Pass it on over.
What? Where are we?
So there was, after Philip cast all the demons out, there was great joy in the city.
Yeah. Oh, and then God told him to go to the west side by the desert.
All right, so he said go down to the south road.
South road.
Okay, on the way to where? You remember? Does anyone remember?
Oh, the
Gaza. Very good. All right. All right. Next guy. And there on the south road to Gaza, what did he see?
Chariots.
Do you see chariots or chariot?
A chariot.
At least in the script. Oh, yeah. All right. So on that chariot, what was happening?
Ethiopians were reading. An Ethiopian was reading Isaiah out of a Bible or something.
All right.
Like that.
And so, and where had that Ethiopian, to pass it back to this young lady, where had the Ethiopian just come from?
A town. Jerusalem.
What town is up near there? So what was he doing in Jerusalem?
Oh, worship. Okay, worshiping.
He was worshiping the Lord, right? So that's an interesting question. So worshiping the Lord. And so whenever Philip saw the chariot, what did the angel of the Lord say to him?
To go and explain what he was reading.
All right, well, did he say there? Did he say just go draw near?
Or to go draw near.
Get close to it. All right, now give it to this young guy. Once he drew near, what did Philip find? All right, somebody help him. What happened when he drew near? I think it was you who answered it. He was reading in the prophet Isaiah, right? Do you remember he was reading the prophet Isaiah? And so when Philip heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah, Philip asked him, do you remember what he asked him?
The man was asked if he understood what he was reading.
That's right. So Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? All right, pass the shoe back over here. We got to come over here to these people. They're going to fall asleep. All right, so Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch, pass it over there. What did Philip, he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And then what did the Ethiopian eunuch respond?
How could I understand if I have no one to explain it to me?
All righty. And then the scripture came, that he was saying, here's the scripture I'm reading. And can anyone quote the scripture? He was like a sheep. Look at him, pass it over. He was like a sheep.
He was reading it from the book of Isaiah. And, you know, he was like a lamb led to the slaughter, mm-hmm. and he was killed. And then he was crucified, and he was, well, it didn't say crucified in Isaiah, but he was humiliated, and
that's
he
right.
did not receive the justice that he
That's
did.
Right. Who can speak of his descendants because he was taken from the earth, all right?
Right.
All right, give it to your husband, I would suppose. All right, and so from that very passage, Philip did what? That is right. That is very good. Now, perfect. All right. What was the part that we left out? That's right. So is he speaking of himself or some other prophet? Or is the prophet speaking of himself? All right. So after he said that, then Philip, from that very passage, did what? You remember? Told him the story of Jesus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, start telling him the story of Jesus.
All right, he preached Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so as they were going along after he told them the story of Jesus, what happened? Do you remember?
No.
Do you remember? They came to some water. And so what did the Ethiopian eunuch say? Pass the microphone to this lady. So what did the Ethiopian say as they came to the water?
Look, here is water. What is to keep me?
Amen. All right. And so then what happened?
Philip baptized him and got. Okay. Go ahead.
And then the Spirit took Stephen away.
Stephen or Philip?
Philip, I'm Philip, sorry. Okay. Philip.
Took Philip away, and then what did the Ethiopian. Go ahead. Okay. Pass in the back. What did the Ethiopian eunuch do after that?
The Ethiopian eunuch went back to his home and told other people about Jesus.
Well, we assume that. What did the story say, though?
Pardon me?
We assume that he did, and there's pretty good evidence that he went and spread the gospel. But in this story, it says that once Philip was taken away, the Ethiopian eunuch did what? Went on his way with?
With joy.
With great joy, rejoicing, someone said. Okay.
Didn't Philip go to Africa, and that what you
well,
said?
He went to Azotus.
Pardon me?
Some town named Azotus. It's on the coast,
oh, okay.
About 40 miles away.
What you said.
So he zoomed to Azotus. That was before, I guess, the expressway was put in. All right. We've heard the story twice now, and more than twice, and we saw an example where we're correcting it. And there's probably other times that as someone was speaking, you realize, oh, they forgot this or they forgot that. As you tell the stories, God's word becomes planted and riveted to your heart. And there's something important about that. It's not something. It's extremely important about this. The young people, as you guys hear God's stories, my prayer is that, boy, the Holy Spirit just plants it and drives it into your heart. Because as you get up older, as you begin to have families, as you begin to make decisions in life, it will be God's word, hopefully, that will direct you and guide you. And we as a church body need to complete one another. And I think this may be a technique or tool that may be coming back into fashion, so to speak, where we tell God's stories. And it's by completing one another that, and you go over and over and over, that, oh, it comes into your heart because it's a story. And I believe that God wired us to hear stories. Who has children in here that child did not like to hear stories? I mean, we all just innately want to hear stories. And now there's not only is it useful for, learning God's word, but here's I'm going to show you, it's useful for us to begin to find the truth couched in those stories. So after we tell the story, after we complete it, and in our situation, there's only 6, 7, 8 people max that's in these little house churches. And so, boy, you tell it 3 or 4 times and everyone's had an opportunity to really know God's word. After we tell those stories, then I begin to ask questions. And now I'm going to ask you questions, very basic questions. What did this story, and this is where you guys got to have to speak up, don't be embarrassed. What in this story, what does this story tell us about God? What comes to your head? What? Anybody? What does this story tell us about God? He's sovereign. Amen. Anybody, anything else? Even though his children are being persecuted and they're being scattered all over the known world at that time, God was still working. So is it apparent in this story that things can mess up God's plan? Can people mess God's plans up? Can even a mean Saul, persecute or terrorist? We have terrorists today, folks. We live with them. And evidently in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, there's more. I mean, we live among people that want to mess God's plans up. Is there someone in your life that wants to mess your life up? Do you have a God that's bigger than that? Okay, anybody else? What does this story tell us about God, Brother John? Wow. All right. Is there someone out here in Breckenridge, in Palo Pinto, is there someone whose God is already at work? John just said when someone's heart is turning toward God, God will find a way to get to them. Is there somebody in your life, in your school, at your workplace, is there someone perhaps that God's been turning in their heart and they're waiting for Philip? Are you that Philip? Do you believe that God is still at work? Is he bigger than all of this mess that we have out here? I believe that right here in Breckenridge there are people whose hearts are turning to God. They're like that man who went to the town, Jerusalem, whatever it may be, and he in his best or she in his best way wants to worship God, but they don't know how. And he hoped, oh, will you be the privileged one to go and tell that person how to worship that precious Savior of ours? All right? So what does that tell us about God? What in this story do we need to obey? Immediately. Did Philip ponder and haw and debate? In the story, does it look like I don't want to go. Send me a sign or did he immediately get up and go? He went, didn't he? All right. Did it make sense for Philip to leave? He's an evangelist. He's in a town who's filled with what? Great joy because of what? What God has been doing through who? I'm the dude, God. Don't you realize I'm the dude up here, man? I got the Samaritans, you know, just coming and receiving your word. You want me to go where? Now, we learn in Scripture later on, that is a very desolate, lonely, deserted road. In fact, that's where people go get mugged. Here, Brother Don, you got this great revival. Everyone from Palo Pinto, you know, west of Fort Worth, you know, east of Abilene is coming to your church because we got a revival going on. Don, I want you to go down to, I want you to go to Cisco. I don't know if Cisco's big or not. I don't think it's very big. Go to Cisco. Are you nuts, Lord? I got my message. But he got up and went. It didn't make sense from an evangelical, thank you, sense to leave, but he went up and went. Is God right now asking you to do something that just doesn't make sense? Will you be like Philip? Will you obey and go to that desolate, dark, uncomfortable place? Okay, what does that tell us about God? Oh, no. What is that? What do we have to obey? Anything? Anybody else? What do we have to obey from this story? Well, you remember those words, because in the service, I'm gonna pound on that one. All right. Once we tell the stories, we begin to ask these questions. And believe it or not, these little Javanese farmers, Muslim people that have never heard, you know, never darkened a church, a Sunday school, you know, they've come from a completely lost context. As we ask questions like this, God's Spirit reveals to them these truths that we're talking about right here, and it is absolutely rich. And it's just precious to be a part of. And I encourage you, if you guys are, you know, in your own families, tell God's stories to your kids and grandkids. Tell God's stories, embed them into their heart, and then begin to let God's word that's alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It can penetrate. We can trust it. It penetrates right to the bone and marrow of a man's heart. It will do God's work as we tell it. And so, Chris and I came to a point in our lives where we had to obey God's word. We both felt like he was calling us to go overseas. And it didn't make sense. We were comfortable. We were already plugged into a church. Why leave when we already got a ministry here, a church that we're at? And Chris is going to come up and share with you, and you know, how God touched her. And I went and let's borrow that mic there, and I'll just let Chris tell your story. I got 10 minutes or so. There. Is that right?
Okay, I was just going to share a little bit about, people wonder how do you know when God's talking to you? How do you know that you've been called? Well, for everybody, it's different. My husband knew way before I did. But for me, as I was doing a Bible study, God just began to call me to get out of my comfort zone. Because, as Cliff said, that we were living the American dream, if you want to call it that. I mean, a small-scale version. We had a nice house. We had 2 cars, we had a dog, Cliff worked, I stayed at home with the kids, and we were very comfortable. We were not working in a church, but had ministries within that church, and friends, and, you know, friends close by, and family, and, you know, everything was going well, and God just began to say, are you willing to get out of your comfort zone if I call you to do so? Well, no, not really. Me, no, maybe, I'll think about it, you know, and I had to think about it a long time, and he continued to call me, you know. Are you serving me the way I want you to serve me right now? And so as far as, like, the call, there was, I mean, he used lots of verses. Most of them were in Isaiah about, you are my servant. I've called you to be my servant. I've chose you to be my servant so that you would know me and believe in me and understand that I am the only God. And then beyond that, there was just, you know, all kinds of things, a bombardment of ways that God used to call me, whether it was songs on the radio or sermons or just, you know, books. I started reading The Purpose Driven Life, and I don't know if you've read that or not, but it talks about, are you making an eternal difference in the life of people around you? And I thought, you know, not really. are you bringing them, are you making ways for them to join you in heaven when you go there? Are you planning, are you just going by yourself? And so, you know, the Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And that means guys right around here in Breckenridge, just as much as it means elsewhere. But for me, God was calling me to go elsewhere overseas and do that. You know, and really it was just a choice of surrender. And that's a big choice to make. Are you willing to give up everything that I've blessed you with because I've called you to do so? And so finally we said yes and went overseas. And, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was the most difficult thing I have ever done in my entire life. And probably most people that have moved overseas will tell you something similar. It's, you just don't know what it's like until you've experienced it, where you just leave everything you've ever known and loved, your family, your friends, your Walmart, you know, the things around you that you know, and this is your life, this is how it's always been, and all of a sudden you go there, and it's not the same. Your friends aren't there, your family isn't there. You can't speak the language, and you can't talk to people, and everything is different. People don't know how to stand in lines, you know, just little things that you would think everybody knows because that's how it is here. It's just not like that. And you think, what is wrong with these people? Someone needs to teach them some things. But that's their culture, and you just have to learn it. But for us in our situation, God put us in a very difficult place. And I think it was partly for me to learn that I could rely on him and not all the things that I had learned to rely on. And despite all the difficulties, and I'm summarizing this a bit, as far as some of the difficulties, I mean, it was just, it was a city that was packed with people. I mean, like 17 million people in the size of area, land size of Fort Worth. Packed. You go from anywhere to anywhere in the city, you're going to at least be in the car an hour and a half. Just standstill traffic. And that's probably going about 3 miles. And it was, as far as like the heat, you didn't really have air conditioning except in your bedrooms. And so it was like summer heat without the relief of air conditioning. And so you're kind of irritable. And it was filthy because of pollution and all the traffic. And and we just didn't have a very conducive place as far as like kids couldn't get out and play. We were in our house. Our house was nice, but there's no yards and streets, again, filled with traffic. And the other thing that most people are amazed about is right in front of our house, about where these two are sitting from the front door of our house, is an open sewer where everything from our toilet went, you know, just ran along there. So it was kind of stinky and smelly. And because of the sewers, there was lots of rats. There was tons of mosquitoes. I remember sitting in church one day, and there's so many mosquitoes that everybody in our church would like clap them and kill them, and then everybody had about 20 mosquitoes just sitting right in front of them, you know, by the end of the service. This is insane. And it's not just that they bite you, but they can also have dengue fever or malaria and all this kind of stuff. And so when I'm used to the safe area of America with my children, somewhat safe, you know, all these little things that you kind of worry about as a mom, oh my goodness, God, protect us. And he did. He promised that he would protect us and provide for us during that time, and he truly did that. But then at the end of that time, or as we're going through that time, you know, God began to call me to come back. Are you kidding? Please, I've given you 2 years. Please don't make me come back. And so I had to go through this process all over again of, are you going to obey me if I call you to do it? And yeah, so long story short, we did. But what he promised me, he said, if you obey me, I will bless you. And I just read verses like that over and over and over and over again. In Deuteronomy, it says, I have now given you the choice of life and death. Choose life. Love the Lord your God, obey him, and be faithful to him. And I will I will bless you in the land that I've promised your ancestors. But anyway, and so it was truly a crisis of belief for me. I had to, am I going to believe him? Because the last 2 years weren't so great. But he promised me that if I obey him, he will bless me. Okay, God, I'm going to give you another chance kind of thing. I can do it. So we did. So we went back to another city. And, you know, I'm just standing before you to say that God did do just that. He kept his promise. Went back to a completely different, it was the same country, but a different part of the country. It was just nicer, cleaner, cooler. My kids could get outside and play. Friends, of course, by now I could speak the language, so that's a, you know, adds a whole other element to it. and just ministry-wise, there's been a lot of blessings within our ministry also. And my kids have an international school that they go to before I was homeschooling, and that was another challenge. But my kids were able to go to this school, and I've been a teacher in the past, so then I've been able to teach at my kids' international school, which has truly been a blessing to us, to me, the kids. And anyway, so, yeah, I just, you know, sometimes it's hard to follow God and to do what he says, but, you know, stay in the Word. What is he telling you to do, and then what has he promised you? And in my experience, even the first 2 years that were hard, he kept his promises. He provided for us. He protected us. I have several stories of how he specifically did that. And this last time, he's promised to bless us. And he truly did that. And even the one thing that I had given up that I felt like this is non-negotiable was family. You go 24 hours a plane ride away, you've given up your family. You know, your extended family. You're not going to be spending as much time with them. But even that, God bless. We had many family members come over while we were there and visit us. And my dad paid for me to come back, for us to come back as a family, a couple Christmases. And so we actually have got to see the one thing that I really thought wasn't going to happen, that happened. So God even blessed there. So, so that's our story in a nutshell. And I just challenge you, you know, what is God calling you to do? Is he calling you to get out of your comfort zone and do something that may be hard, but he's still calling you to do it? And if you've been arguing with him like I was doing, or looking for ways out, you know, start looking for ways to do what he's called you to do.